Could the home of the future be the size of a car park? Until now, the classic New Zealand home is the three-bedroom, standalone, little garden out the back, but we all know housing costs have gone through the roof. One of the solutions being thrown around is that rules around apartment sizes could be loosened up. One listener has written in wanting to know if this could become reality, and she's torn. Smaller and cheaper sounds like it could help first home buyers finally getting a foot in the door. But she's also wondering whether we're just building tomorrow's problem and whether the whole thing could backfire. Great questions. So welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week, people from inside the money world help us make sense of what's happening right now. And in the hot seat, Vanessa Williams from realestate.co.nz. Making Sense is partnered with realestate.co.nz to get you the info you need in today's market. realestate.co.nz. Download the app today. I want to help as many people as possible reach financial freedom by taking control of their money. You can help me in that mission. Two really easy ways. First, hit subscribe wherever you like to listen, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast player. Then send this episode to a friend so we can all level up together. Then the show grows and I can keep giving you the money info that makes a difference for your life. Okay, back to it. In the hot seat, giving us the freshest data on this, Vanessa Williams from realestate.co.nz. You ready?
I'm ready. Thank you so much for having me back.
Always. All right, here we go. Hi, Frances. I've seen some headlines I'd love an expert take on. Apparently, the government wants to scrap rules around minimum apartment sizes and things like mandatory balconies. Does that mean we're about to get a wave of tiny shoebox apartments in New Zealand? Part of me thinks maybe that's not the worst thing. If smaller places are cheaper to build and buy, could that actually help people like first home buyers? Or at least make city living more realistic for people who don't want or can't afford a full house? But then I also worry, are we just setting ourselves up for poor quality housing that no one actually wants long term? And would banks even lend on super small apartments? Would they even hold their value? Would they become the kind of places that people end up getting stuck in? What do you think? Is this actually likely to happen, or is it more political noise than reality? Would love your take on whether micro apartments could ease the housing shortage or just create new problems. A lot in that. But I think, again, this is one of those where you hear about these small apartments and people immediately do have these huge amount of questions. It's not really something we've seen heaps of in New Zealand. So have you seen these reports too, and what's your take on them?
I have seen these reports as well, and I was probably a little bit like, oh, okay, we do have a housing shortage, you know, we do need some more supply, some more housing, but a shoebox apartment is the right way to go about it. And look, I actually looked over the last sort of 10 years worth of data. Realistically, the average apartment size has stayed pretty much consistent for the past 10 years. Might have fluctuated 1 or 2 square meters, but it's pretty much stayed the same size. And while investors can build these apartments, they've still got to be demand on the other end for people wanting to live in them and or buy them, right? The maths on that really does have to make sense. So while I think it's interesting that there has been a lot of talk around removing that minimum square meterage, whether that actually translates or not, I think is yet to be seen, because again, any investment has still got to make good financial sense, and you need their ability to be able to offload it, sell it, rent it at the other end. And I'm just not sure anything too small is probably going to be that appealing, especially there is actually quite a lot of apartments, varying sizes with varying balconies, varying amenities, of course, all the rest of it. But when you are competing with that, if you've got the smallest apartment on earth, you know, it's going to be just harder to sell or rent. So, you know, I think we've got to take all of those into account.
Yeah. What do we see in terms of what New Zealanders like from a property? I mean, for starters, do we know much about how apartments go in general compared to other properties, and also how the size of that apartment impacts things?
So we typically see them as in major centres, and they are very sort of utilised in student market, you know, where you've got someone who perhaps is quite stretched in terms of their budgets or their kind of fixed income while they are, you know, getting an education, et cetera.
So they might be like investment properties that get rented out?
Of course, yes. Especially if they are very, very central. You can have someone live there who doesn't need to have a car, or, you know, can get around in kind of their micro area, can perhaps walk or bus to university or to Polytech, or, you know, work in the city very kind of locally. So the smaller apartments do create a certain ability for people who are perhaps budget stretched to be able to have a house, which is of course phenomenal. But then as soon as you move into a different stage in your life, then of course you start to see a different need. And typically when you go from being a student to earning, then you do have more funds to play with. So therefore, you don't really need to, I'm using this word as shoebox in inverted commas, because I do, you know, think it can be a bit of unfair when it does create the ability for somebody to have a house at a more cost-effective price.
Yeah.
But look, we have had probably a generation ago, we had that quarter-acre dream when it was very cool to spend your weekends mowing a lot of lawn for your kids to play outside on. And you see how quickly that has shifted in the last 20 years. Less kids are outside now. We also have a lot more kind of affluent lives in general, where we have got the ability to spend more time doing more things outside of the home on the weekend. You know, parks are very well utilized now, which didn't necessarily be quite the same as it was 20 years ago, because you had that swing set in the back garden, as an example. And because there was less to do, there was less working from home, there was less vocations that worked over the weekends. It was sort of, you know, your kind of home was your castle in a very different way than it is today. So we do still have a little bit of the hangover of that, of needing a back garden for our inverted comma kids, and I think fur babies included in that, to play around in. But of course, that is evolving as our lives evolve. And that sort of lock up and leave has certainly changed a lot. Now, look, apartments still only realistically make up less than 5% of the housing pool. So what we are talking about here is quite a small number of housing. And I think when you look globally as well, it's certainly a very different way in which housing is seen globally than it is here in New Zealand, because we have such a passion for property. You know, Kiwis just have this love affair with property that we love to talk about it, love to aim to buy one. You know, it's really something that we genuinely love. So I do think that that plays a part in what we see or deem to be a house or a family home. But it's certainly, as we start to see a more multicultural society here in New Zealand, that landscape is changing.
That's a really interesting perspective on it. And I think as well, when they mentioned about the banks, I think that's a really important point to run through, because we have seen banks get twitchy before about certain types of apartments. So if we get rid of things like minimum size on apartments, does that then make it harder for people to do things like get bank lending?
And that is a really great point, because banks, you're right, get very twitchy under, it's either 40 or 45 square meters. They will sort of perhaps not even lend on it. So that's something that, again, when people are thinking about buying those, if they are looking buy to sell them, that could really hinder their ability to offload them at the other end if banks won't lend on them. Apartments can be a little bit trickier than it was perhaps to buy a house or a townhouse, just with the makeup and body corp. And if you are thinking about this in terms of purchasing an apartment, is really make sure you dive deep into all of those little nuances that come with apartment living versus what it does if you're buying, say, a standalone house or a townhouse.
If you're looking for property, start with realestate.co.nz, New Zealand's longest standing property site. They've been dedicated exclusively to property since 1996. That's even before Google. Whether you're buying or renting, no other property site gives you as much information. The Market Insights feature lets you view the median asking, sale, and rental prices in a suburb for over 1, 3, or even 10 years. Want to know what a property is worth? The estimated sale price range uses the latest sales figures from the real estate industry. Scroll to the bottom of a property listing to discover what it sold for in the past, the council valuation, and what you can expect to pay for it even before you view it. Become the property expert. Download the realestate.co.nz app and make informed decisions fast. Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because as you say, when you come to offload, if that pool of potential buyers to come in from you is so much smaller, because it's people who either have a high enough income that the bank is like, sure, do whatever you like. We just want to keep you as a customer. Or it's people who can buy it outright. You know, that's hard. And that is not the case in every situation. But you really do want to, I think, as you're going through the lending process, be having those honest conversations with the bank about what do you make of this property? Because anyone who comes to buy it from you will then also have to go through that same process, right?
And of course, that can change as well. So like we're seeing here that perhaps, and I know it hasn't come through yet, but the talk of removing that sort of minimum square meterage. You know, you fast forward, if you've got your apartment for 10 years, the landscape of what people can lend on apartments could change in that 10-year period as well. And so because it is a bit more of a risky sort of situation in terms of lending, it's just really good to go with eyes wide open thinking about that, that that is perhaps a market that could change over time. You know, and again, as we say, look backwards to look forwards, what perhaps has happened in the apartment lending over the past 10 years, just so that when you, if you are thinking about purchasing and thinking about what could perhaps change in the future, that again, you go in eyes wide open with those pieces. I mean, again, apartment living is fantastic. You know, a lot of people who actually do live in apartments, especially as you get to my age and people are like, how do I get rid of these teenage children? I know, I'm moving to a two-bedroom apartment. They won't want to live with me there.
There's no bedroom for you now. Out you go.
Oh, days. Seriously considering this myself. But look, no, it's a very different style of living. And of course, when you think about the way in which our life evolves over time, right from leaving home to student living to then perhaps procreating or fur baby creating, you know, and what does that look like? And then, you know, downsizing again and perhaps retirement or pre-retirement living. You know, there are so many ways in which our life changes that our housing also changes. So I definitely don't want to put people off considering, apartment living, because again, it certainly has its benefits. It's just about thinking through and understanding all those nuances that come with it.
100%. I just think as long as you go in eyes wide open and then you know what you're looking for, because there's apartments and then there's apartments. And it's just, you've really got to know a little bit about this. When we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, just a little bit of research can make such a huge difference. You mentioned before about how the property market does slowly change over time as we get, you know, different cultures coming through, or even just the impact of people who've lived overseas and come back and it's maybe changed their perspective on what they want from a house. And I think that's a really good point. So when we look overseas at the overseas example of how apartments are treated and enjoyed, do you think there's any elements of that that might come into New Zealand?
I do think there is, because what is deemed to be a family home, again, in inverted commas, globally, absolutely apartments is just the norm, you know, especially in a lot of the big cities globally, definitely, you know, that they look at that as a family home. Now, I know there's a small amount of aversion from that from locals, so Kiwis sort of thinking that perhaps an apartment isn't really a, again, inverted commas, family home. But I do think that that changes, and also vice versa, Kiwis going overseas, realizing that actually that's probably, if I want to live in a city, that's actually my only option, really, unless I've got multi-millions of pounds. And as I said, again, it's, life stages is a big part of it as well. People just don't want the maintenance as you get to a certain time in life, and or you want to do different things with your weekends or your after work, you know, hours. And so I do think that that's really interesting. It does change a bit of perspective as New Zealand grows up a bit. And I think, you know, with us implementing KiwiSaver in 2007 and our country becoming more wealthy, and we're starting to think about things and there's a little bit more mature in terms of where we're at financially as a country, and then what that looks like and how that flows on to all the different areas and which makes our economy grow and be better. You know, I think housing very much is a part of that, and people start to kind of unshackle themselves from those perhaps past beliefs or perhaps what our parents or our grandparents thought, and looking at ways in which we can be more efficient as an economy, or we can, you know, again, when we're growing our public transport sector, well, that requires a concentrated amount of people in one area, so therefore living has to be more concentrated. So I do think that as we grow up as a country, as we get influence from the global markets and how other cities and countries are working really well, we'll start to see that shift again over the next sort of 10, 15 years.
Yeah. I think you're really onto something there. So if we did see some of these changes go ahead, obviously they've only been sort of talked about at this moment, but if we did see some loosening of the rules around the size of apartments, who do you think that would impact the most? I mean, obviously some of the big categories, first home buyers, family buyers, investors, and what sort of buyer do you think this could impact?
Yeah, what I will say is, well, we've got to remember that they still have to adhere to the building standards. So, you know, while they can be smaller in footprint, they still need to be warm, dry, have certain ceiling heights, you know, have certain doors in the right places so that the toilet's not too close to the kitchen and things like, you know, so there's certainly, you know, we've got to remember that those pieces still need to be met. But I do think that it could impact perhaps student living. you know, could impact those, depending on the financial viability of it. It could impact people willing to be first-time investors. You know, if they are really quite cost-effective as a solution to be able to purchase, and you can actually rent them out for, you know, a relatively good weekly rent because they are so central, or they're right above the university, or they satisfy a certain demand for a rental property, perhaps that is an area. Again, I would caution that, because of course the lending on apartments is quite different, and you know, investors coming into the market and needing those increased loan to value ratios at the moment as we stand. So it's, of course, you need to look into all of those things. But I do think, you know, it could give people who are looking for their first investment property perhaps another option. That kind of student living, or even, you know, single living. If you're someone who wants to just enjoy a city, not spend a lot of time at home and, you know, join clubs and go to restaurants each night. And as our cities mature and those things, you know, become available to people living here, you know, I think that there's the way in which we evolve our lives. You know, this could be a good opportunity for people who, you know, don't necessarily want to spend lots of time in their particular house. And actually, they just want to enjoy a vibrant city and can do that in a more cost-effective manner.
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting points on that. Thank you so much, Vanessa Williams, realestate.co.nz. Now, if you have a question, you've seen something in the news that you're confused about, or you're just thinking about housing market in general, send it to us. We want to do a deep dive on your behalf. ask@francescook.co.nz is the email to send it through to. And we'll pull Vanessa back into the hot seat to get all those questions answered for you. Until next time, have a great day.
This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most situations. It's not individual financial advice. If you're after that, a financial advisor is always the best bet.